Hey everyone, my name is Phil, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect to 97000. There we can answer your questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website and click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Good to gather with you. I was walking out, and Dave walks out and said, I may have preached some of your sermon there. And I said, I mean, you could have the mic if you want. I'm okay with it this morning. I loved it. It's great. The Word of God is so great, and it just speaks through just correcting and guiding our lives. And so that's what our goal is over the next little bit, a few minutes, is just to open His Word, see what He has for us as we study to show ourselves approved, as the Bible teaches us to do. And so that's the goal. But before we jump into that, I want to welcome you. If I don't know you, my name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here. And so for the next 30-ish minutes, I'll say 40-ish, let's get truthful. 40-ish minutes, some of you guys are like, yeah, right, 30 minutes. I know, Romans is, there's a lot to it. So 40 minutes, we'll be opening God's Word. We just look at it and read and talk through what God's Word says, how it applies to the church in Rome, as well as the church in Holly, Michigan. And so that's what we do for the next little bit. And so I want to welcome you here. I want to remind you of what Pastor Noble talked about in our JTT, Join the Team. We're excited about the work of the ministry, seeing all the different baptisms, seeing all the different things God is doing. It's just been so fun. I do want to highlight one area really quickly, okay? Maybe I shouldn't do this, but it is. We're always trying to build up our operations team. You're saying, what is that team? Well, if you look around on our Holly facilities, we have somewhere around 100,000 square foot of building space, okay? And so we're always trying to get people to join the team, help serve, be a part of the work. It's important. And so cleaning up building, you're like, man, I don't do and help. I can't figure out how to teach or work with kids. And those things are not my abilities. But you know what? I can change a toilet. Great. We would love for you to join the team. And you're saying, really? 100%. Because you're looking at a guy that has to call someone to change their toilet. All right. I'm not even ashamed to even say that. And so nothing wrong with that. And so if you have those abilities, you're a man or woman, that's okay. We are always looking to build that team of volunteers to help make these facilities look the way they are. And so we were joking this week as a staff, we have lived in a rainforest this year, by the way. If you've noticed at your home, the weeds are out of control. And so for some reason, the weeds still grow here as well. I think that was the fall, all right, in Genesis, that they grow. And so pulling weeds, all those different things. And so if you're interested, you have questions, you want to know more about that, stop by the operations area of JTT. But every other ministry I could highlight, and I won't do that because I want to preach this morning. But before I get to preach, one more highlight and celebration. Yesterday, we had our backpack block party that we've been asking you to pray for. I was talking to Pastor Noble, I think it's the largest one we've ever had as a church. And so we had 247 kids come out yesterday. It was really, really great. And so I was texting with an administrator of Holly Schools this week, just communicating how excited we are and just what can we do to help the schools and be a part of the lives of the ones in this community? And we believe that, okay? We're not just an isolationist church that's standing over here at East Holly Road and I-75 and going, okay, all right, come to us. No, we want to be active in the community, all right? And so we want to be a part of things, and we want to see how God can use us. And so thank you to everyone who donated, prayed. It was really, really exciting. We partnered with First Baptist of Holly And so Pastor Phil was a lot of fun. He did get in the dunk tank yesterday, and so which was a lot of fun. I did not. I had to run to a wedding, and so I was a part of that, all sweaty, then ran to a wedding and sweat more outside. So, but it was just a great, great event to be a part of. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. We're just trying to take every opportunity we can to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we believe it is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. And so we believe that wholeheartedly. Pastor Noble shared the gospel yesterday as well. And so we're excited about that. If you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, we're in Romans chapter 8. You're like, we've been there for 3 weeks. Yep, you're keeping track. And so we'll be there for two more after this week. And so Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 12 through 17 this morning, looking at this chunk of verses, one of my favorites. And you're like, man, I feel like you say that every week. Well, Romans chapter 8 is just a great, great chapter, but it really, we see a change, and I hope to communicate that this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Let's pray and we'll look at that passage this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being active, a part of this place. God, we worship you. God, we sing about you. We pray to you. We glorify you. And everything that we say and do, God, over the next few minutes, may your word speak very clearly. May your spirit work in our hearts. God, we glorify you. God, thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for being here. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This passage has a ton in it. And so I really wanted to really kind of break it down and pull out a few highlights that we really can talk about and just study this morning. And so let's look at verse 12 just for a few minutes, and I'll kind of chunk it out for us. Verse 12, he says, "So then," this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We are debtors." Paul uses this analogy or description or illustration multiple times in the epistles he has written. So Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And so he's writing these descriptions, and he describes himself. If you look at Philippians, if you look at Ephesians, you look at Colossians, you look at many of these books, he describes himself sometimes as a debtor, as a prisoner, as a slave, as a servant. They're all descriptions of a place of debt. And so he puts himself in debt of something or someone. And you're saying, why is he doing that? Well, he's making sure we understand that Jesus paid a debt that he couldn't pay. He's making sure we understand, as readers, as understanders of what Paul is communicating, and ultimately in 2025, we are still in debt to Christ. That's an important base understanding for us. And so he's saying, hey, you are a servant, you are a slave, you are indebted to Christ. As a follower of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us are in that place. And I'll tell you this, we're okay with that. You're saying, well, that feels demeaning. That feels like something, language that God wouldn't say. Well, the truth of the matter is, this is Paul writing and saying, God, I owe you everything. You see that? I honor you. I'm indebted. You sent Jesus. I love this statement because it's so important for us to understand. If God never did another thing for us, simply sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins was and is enough. It's important that we grasp and understand. That's a core base belief that we must live by. God, I owe you everything. God, I'm indebted to you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. I want to lift your name above all things. God, I place myself under your authority. See, it's an identification, but a placement. The truth of the matter is for us, and I don't want to offend anybody in the room, and so know my heart here, us as Christians, we easily invert that. Where we go, God, you are now a slave to me. I'm now giving my life to you. You're lucky to have me, and I'm on your team. Now, God, go and do for me. You see the parallel difference there? Come on, right? Do we see that difference? The truth of the matter is, for us, as we grasp and understand, God, I want to place myself in your service. I'm in, I like this word, an obligation, or I'm obligated to live for you. I don't want to pre-preach Romans 12, but it just so communicates. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Simply means this is what God has called you to do. You want to honor him, you want to worship him, you want to glorify him in all that you do. Here it is. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I think the King James says in verse 1, present your body as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service, or it's just a base level. I'm thinking, wow, if that's a base level, we've got a lot of work to do, right? I'm good at presenting half of my life to him. God, I'll give you this half, but the rest, I kind of like. I kind of want to shape this. I want to kind of mold this. I want to speak into this. God, I'll give you half, or I'll give you a couple of my kids, but I'm not giving you all of my kids. I'll give you some of my finances, but I'm not going to give you all of my finances. I'm not going to give you my job. I'm not going to give you my home. I can figure those things out on my own, but God, I'm going to give you my health because I know you can handle that. You see that balance that we tend to live out? Okay, I'm the only one that does. No one else is like, all right. Right? That's what happens. That's what it practically looks like for us. Rather than, okay, God, I'm indebted to you. I'm in 100% debt. I want to serve you. I want to give you everything. God, I place my life in your hands. What a great picture for us to understand. I read this week and I'm like, wow, this is echoed over and over and over again. I'm a highlighter for a lot of books I read. And so I highlighted this and double starred it in the books that I read. It said sanctification, which is the process of growing more holy and looking more like Christ. Sanctification is not a luxury, but a necessity. And I went, oh my gosh, that was the punch I needed this week. Thank you, God. Right? Come on. It almost feels like, all right, I'll get to God working on me. No. The Holy Spirit working on me, that is a necessity for growing to look more like Christ and realizes we are indebted to him and giving our lives to him. Paul continues in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. This has been a common theme over the last, really, I'd say 4 to 6 weeks of living in the Spirit, living in the flesh. And so I won't re-preach that. And so if you've missed or you're new, that's what really we've been talking about for the last 4 to 6 weeks, living in the Spirit and not living in the flesh. But now Paul is telling us, put the flesh to death. Put it to death. Remove it. Galatians says, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is I no longer live, but he who lives in me And so we've been called to put our flesh to death. And I know you're like, wow, that sounds like a big, huge statement. What does that actually look like practically? And so I'm a, I would say this, I like very clear instructions. It's helpful for me. I don't know, maybe it's not for you, but I'm like, okay, I'd like to understand what that actually putting the flesh to death looks like. We're gonna talk about this, but Paul never intrinsically or clearly gives us a step-by-step process. I need step-by-step. I did tell everyone I cannot replace a toilet, all right? That's very clear, all right? But I need a step-by-step, very clear process of making something happen. And Paul never really does that. But yet, Jesus speaks to this dying to self. Other New Testament writers have called us to deny themselves, right? Deny themselves, take up the cross. That's the words of Jesus. And we've been called to put self or deny self. And yet it continues to speak, as we've been talking over the last couple of weeks, our flesh likes self. Our flesh likes what we like. We're all little, I use this word because a friend used it, our flesh is persnickety. It's an old word in case you're wondering, right? Quirky. We like things that we like. And when something happens against us that we don't like, what happens? We're now put in a predicament. We're put in a balance. What do I do? Do I throw a tantrum or a fit? And don't look at me like you've never thrown a tantrum or fit to God, because many of us in here have. Let's just being honest. I don't mean to offend anybody in the room or online. Sometimes I say that. I don't want to offend anybody in the room, but online I can offend. No, that's not what I'm saying, all right? But for us, is coming to that going, God, I'm putting myself out of the way. I'm removing my thoughts, like what I think, my control, and placing God, you direct, you guide. God, what I think that I want, I'd rather want what you want. That's what prayer is. We think praying is aligning God to my desires, my wants. The truth is, prayer is aligning myself to what God wants. That let your kingdom come, right? Not my will, but yours. It's placing and saying, God, align my heart, align my feet, align my mouth, align my thoughts to your will. That is placing myself, not necessarily in the back seat, but sometimes in the trunk. Like, do you need that? Yeah, probably in the trailer behind the car, right? That's us. Because there's too many times we want to bump God out of the way and go, God, I know where I'm going. I want to drive. And yet we've been called to die to self daily. And that concept, Paul is saying, you know what? If you are not going to die to self, you can't live in the Spirit. You can't. And so if we live in self, let's invert the word, we live in self or flesh, we will literally bring the things of death on our life. And yet, Paul says, if you live, you'll live by the Spirit. And then he continues, and I love this. Verses 14 and 15, he now begins to progress. And this progression is really, really good. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit, Spirit of God, are sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so, Paul begins, not really begins, he continues, says, let's put this flesh, let's put the self to death, and now let's live in the Spirit. And then he says, he tells us to be led by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And so this is a, I want to try to teach this and also preach this, but also apply it in our lives. And so I want to try to help us understand this a little bit better. And so to be led by the Spirit. And so I've never heard the audible voice of God in my life, okay? And so I don't claim to be. And so when somebody gives up, God told me, if God's word says that, that's when I'll say God told me, okay? And so, however, I have felt led by the Spirit. And you're saying, what would that look like? Well, to be felt to be led by the Spirit is to live out the word of God. And you're saying, what does that actually look like? Well, last week, we talked about this. Last week, we preached to this. What is the role of the Spirit? To illuminate, remind, and to teach the words of Jesus. And so first and foremost, to be led by the Spirit, you will be in balance with the words of Christ. They will not come in opposition. And so I've had people say, sitting in my office, hey, I felt led by the Spirit to do something. I said, that is against God's word. And so you weren't led by the Spirit. And so I probably said it a little nicer than I did just there, but that's the truth. But yet we've been called to be led by the Spirit. Understanding to be led by the Spirit is to yield control to his control. Follow his lead while we allow him to exert his influence, godly influence over us. And so understanding as we look and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, trying to disseminate and discern that is difficult. I don't pretend. And so you're like, man, this is the first time I've ever walked in a church, or I have something I've struggled with and balancing. I want to be led by the Spirit, but I'm afraid that sometimes it'll lead me to do wrong, or it's not the right Spirit. And sometimes you just say being led by the Spirit, it freaks me out. I don't even know what you're saying. And I get that. We've got that grand scheme of people. And so maybe you grew up Baptist and you're like being led by the Spirit. Man, we stay away from people like that. That's not what we've been called to do. We've been called as Christians to be led by the Holy Spirit, to live out in our lives. And so what does that look like? Well, I'll say this. I wrote this down. I feel like the best way to be led by the Spirit is to be in his word, and your life will be shaped by the word, and the Spirit will lead and speak. You're saying, really? Yeah. Sometimes we're looking, okay, it's gotta be some supernatural thing. Yes, I do believe God works way beyond we can see and understand. I'm not putting God in a box ever, okay? God is all powerful, all knowing. He can do whatever he wants. However, Galatians 5 gives us a great description. I didn't give them this verse because I was working through it this morning. But Galatians 5, 16 through 24 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, or be led by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And if the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There it is. There's the juxtaposition, that battle that's in us. God, I want to be led by your Spirit. I have to die to self. Sometimes I have to remove self. God, you direct, you guide, you lead. You place people in my life to help speak truth into my life that will be faithful are the wounds of a friend. God, you place influence. You place the word. You place interactions. Do I believe God does that? Absolutely. 100%. Because we must place ourselves to be walking or being led in the Spirit. But it then continues. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Galatians and Romans are great parallels. If you're ever doing a study and you want to dive deeper of Romans, if you read the I think 5 or 6 chapters of Galatians, so profound. They speak directly to one another in a great way. But that's a side sermon, okay? Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Okay? So being led by the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is he saying? Those are the fruits of the flesh. You're saying living those out in my life is being led by the flesh. Yep. Very clearly, Paul gives that very clear explanation and understanding. But then, as you've heard me say, probably sing in some aspects, but the fruit of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, these things will pour out of your life. Okay? You won't have to fake them. You won't have to go, oh gosh, I pretend that I do this. No, no. These things will begin to pour out of your life if you're being led by the Spirit truly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. But then he says in verse 24, it's just so good. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Didn't we just talk about that? Come on, didn't we? Put it to death. I have put the flesh to death. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what are you saying? To be led by the Spirit of God. These fruits will pour out of my life. Not only will they pour out of my life, they will become my desires. I do want to say this, not perfectly, right? We talked about that in Romans chapter 7. You're like, man, I am the most impatient person I know. Guess what? That makes two of us, all right? Working on that. Thank God he is still working on me as well as you. And so this is not a place of perfection. So don't feel like you've walked into a church that says, hey, there's your prerequisites. There's your check boxes. If I love and I have joy and I have peace, I am living in the Spirit. Yeah, those will become pouring out of my life. You'll go, man, I love that person. I don't even know how I did it. Right? We all have that person that's hard to love in our families. Guess what? I mean, if you don't, it's you, by the way. All right? Like, I don't have that person. Okay, we'll talk afterwards, all right? No, it's for us. It's going, yeah, that person's hard to love. Guess what? You'll love them in a way you're like, I don't even know how I did it. Or you'll be in the place that you're like, I've had patience with this person. I don't know why I've had patience yet. God has given it to me. Or gentle, a meek, self-control. You begin to faithfully, all these fruits of the Spirit, we begin to go, oh, those sound great. Those are great kids' songs. Guess what? No, those are being led by the Spirit. Or you love someone, you're like, man, I don't know how it happened. And so you begin to watch those in my life. And I want to be careful here and not to be super, to encapsulate everybody. But if you're not watching any of those fruit grow in your life, you must begin to examine, is the Spirit of God in me? And I don't want to create doubt, because I believe the way we are saved is not by our works. You don't do these things to qualify for heaven. How do we get to heaven? Is realize that you are a sinner, lost, broken. Every one of us is. We need Christ in our life. And I have repented of my sin. God, I'm a sinner, broken, and I give you my life. I believe you came, died, and rose again, and are coming back again. I believe that wholeheartedly. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You can't work your way there. You can't love. You can't have joy your way there. I don't even know why that means, but you can't be gentle your way there. It's the change that happens in my life. You'll begin to watch that change. Not only will my actions change, my desires will change. That's being led by the Spirit. And those are in easy interactions, because we all have people that are love, easy to love, or easy to be gentle with. And those are the difficult ones. And so what I don't want you to do is lose your patience with a coworker this week and go, wow, my pastor just said I'm not saved. I gotta get saved. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Please don't walk out of here thinking that. No, it's coming to that repentance. God, I don't want to be led by those fits of anger, right? We see the differences there. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to find myself being gentle with a person that I sometimes, I won't fill in the blank, right? Right? It comes out in our lives. I love this quote. When we walk in the Spirit, we find that the sinful appetites of flesh have no more victory over us. I love that because that just encapsulates, I think, all of what he's saying here. I just want to be led by the Spirit and live out in a place of victory because the flesh no longer controls me and the Spirit of God leads me into being more righteous and living for him, not in my own might, but by the Spirit of God. And such a great picture we've been called. Then he continues and says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption, the spirit of slavery. He gives the juxtaposition, the difference ends, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of adoption. I thought, didn't you say we were slaves, servants? Didn't Paul say that in the beginning of the sermon? Yeah, he did. That's why I said it's progressing. He says, yes, I am indebted to live out as a slave, as a servant for you, God. Yet, I am now adopted. I'm adopted. I'm made a child of God. As Paul is writing and pinning this to the church or the Christians in Rome, they're understanding this picture of adoption. This is not an adoption and of natural kids and adopted kids and some get better, some get worse. No. To be adopted in that culture, you have been brought into the exact same blessings, promise, inheritance, same name as a born child. That's the beauty of what Paul is saying. Hey, you are no longer a servant. You've been made a child of God. And I'm not going to pre-preach the end of this chapter because I want to right now because it's so good. Guess what? You've been made an heir. You've been made an heir. God has promised you heaven as a child of God. And so I'll get there in a little bit. I'm not going to pre-preach it, all right? A little worked up. I knew I would get to that. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. But he says, as Christians, we can relate to God. No longer as a slave. I'm not afraid of a harsh master. I got failed. And some of us, all of us fail. But yet we don't have to be afraid of a harsh master. But we are graciously adopted into the family of God and given an inheritance. The beauty of that, I can't even encapsulate with my words, honestly. I wish I could. I've thought about that. I just can't even grasp that. God, you've made me your child. I don't deserve that. I'm far from it. Yet you've done that. But then he doesn't just stop there. He says and finishes out 15, you've been given to receive the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, what's happening here is, I think for maybe you've felt, the restrictions of religion or the blocking and you're just trying to understand God and maybe you're just like, God, I can't grasp or understand you. This verse alone is God calling out for an intimate, beautiful relationship with you. See, we are told to have reverence, God. We're told to place God where he belongs. Yet, God has said, call me Abba, Father. He taught the disciples, call him Father. It's the same word, same thought process. Come to me. He said, come to me boldly. Approach the throne of God, the creator of all things. Come to God and cry out, Abba Father. That Abba Father is a picture of an intimate. It's dear father or dear dad. See, what's mind-blowing is Paul is writing this to Jews and Gentiles. The Jews, they couldn't even grasp or understand this. They would never address the Almighty God in that way. And they still would never do. Yet God is inviting you, them, everyone to call him Abba Father, an intimate, beautiful relationship. God is desiring that with you. And for us, I would say, being truthful this morning, all of us that want to really be truthful, we can't grasp or understand why God would do that. See, beginning of Romans, he says, I've been an enemy. I have gone against you. Yet God, he is inviting me to say, God, I want to hear the deepest, darkest, broken. I want all of you in a real beautiful, intimate relationship that will ultimately change you. And God inviting us into a relationship to live that way, to know that you can cast all of your cares, you can cast all of your brokenness, you can cast all of your worries, you can give him all that you have, and he's not too big to receive it. He's not too busy. He's not like, okay, God, can I set up an appointment to get to you? No, God's saying, hey, anytime, any place, you can drive down the road, you can take your head off your pillow. Anytime, God is seeking that relationship. And that's transformative for all of us as we truly understand it, saying, God, I want to know you. And it's such a great picture. Galatians chapter 4, it says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. He continues in verse 16, which I kind of already preached, I'm sorry. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that are children of God. So the Spirit will then testify, one translation says. The original word used here is simply just means to bear witness or to confirm. What's great about this is Old Testament Levitical law, you had to have two witnesses to confirm something. Guess what? Your salvation is sealed, just as Ephesians says, by the Holy Spirit. You are a witness. And the Holy Spirit is your witness. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. The entirety of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It is confirmation that I am a child of God. I am sealed till the return of Jesus Christ. That is such a great truth. Such a great truth. John 1:12, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Whew. Some of you today are maybe dealing with the doubt of your salvation. Man, the devil is good at making you question, isn't he? I really do. I mean, this is, you can go all the way to Genesis chapter 3. That's all he was doing. He's putting question marks on the words of God. If you've confessed your sins, you've believed in your heart that Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, rose again, you've been saved. And no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand, the word says. So I wanted to read this to you. I was going to summarize, but I thought it was really good. All too often, a believer may come to the point of doubting their salvation. Because the sanctification has proceeded so slowly and so lamely. The Spirit, however, does not base his assuring testimony on progress or the lack of it in the Christian life. He does not lead us to cry, I am God's child. Rather, he leads us to call upon God as Father, to look away from ourselves to him who has established the relationship. What a mind-blowing statement for us to understand. God, I just want to remind you that you are my Savior. Guess what? That statement alone is not what God has called. He's saying, call on me as your Father. As your Father. Solidified, understanding that truth. And then verse 17, he says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in, or glorified with him. So you're an heir of God. Heirs with Christ. That statement is, I get goosebumps just saying it. saying, what is that? What are we heirs to? Well, we're heirs to eternal life. We're heirs to heaven. We're heirs to a repaired, reconciled relationship with God. How did this happen? Well, several months ago we talked about becoming justified, becoming righteous. What? By our own works? Nope. But the works of Jesus Christ. That truth should shake you at your core. Should change that we are all heirs, co-heirs with Christ. I love 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. That we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The King James uses the phrase, it's bestowed on us. Ephesians 1 describes the same love as what kind of love has been lavished upon us. I love that word. It's been given to us, this great love. And so what do we do with this as heirs? Well, I want to say this to you. It should change everything. It should change how we perceive, how we pray. It should change what we desire. It should change how we interact, how we talk. There's that fruit of the flesh and fruit of the spirit. See, Paul puts a bow on the section, if you will, kind of pause there. We're going to get to the separation, what can separate us from the love of God, and it's a great end of chapter 8. Can I give you a quick little preview? Nothing. When we grasp and understand that, the difficulties of this world or put it in perspective. I love Psalm 30. As I sat this morning, just kind of finalizing, thinking through this, Psalm 30 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. That passage is understanding this, God, yeah, there's difficulties in this season, but God, I know I am an heir to what you have. This week, I got invited to a prayer summit. And you're saying, what is a prayer summit? Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I went with 30 other, I would say, Metro Detroit pastors. There was a couple from Traverse City, and we went up to the Thumb. And guess what? We prayed for pretty much 3 days. Prayed for you, prayed for one another, prayed for the work of the ministry. We prayed for some difficulties in families. It was great. It was just a great, refreshing time. Just a really cool organization that we're able to do that with. And just, it was great, great perspective. And so the last day, they said, okay, we're going to give you an hour of silence to go hear from God. I want you to know this. That is terribly difficult for me. My wife said to my kids, your dad just talks, and that's what I do, all right? Usually my mouth's moving for some stupid reason, all right? And so so he's like, all right, we're giving you an hour. Just meditate on some prayer, think, and just, God, what do you have for me? And I'll be truthful, I really struggle with that. And so I thought, okay, we're about a half mile from Lake Huron, where we were at. And so just outside of Deckerville. And so I began to go, okay, God, I'm just going to walk there. I'm going to walk to the beach and just sit there. And so so I walked there and just began to go, God, what do you have for me? But I begin to, and this is terrible to admit out loud, and maybe never come back again. I begin to find myself battling with that place of going, God, I want to hear from you, but I want to tell you what I want you to hear from me. I want to tell you about what's going on in my life. I want to tell you about this situation, which isn't a bad thing, by the way, okay? But for us as Christians, us as followers of God, us as heirs to God, finding our place of truly meditating, going, God, I want to be led. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you have me going. But God, I want you. I want you. The beauty of that is, guess what? He's invited us to do that. He's invited, not like accidental or like just a select few or not just pastors. He's invited us to come boldly and say, God, I relent. I place my hands, my feet, my knees, my body at your service. And I want you to speak. I want you to lead. I found myself at a place, sitting at a picnic table, overlooking Lake Huron. I had a place of saying, God, I surrender. You're saying, you already done that for salvation. I know. But sometimes we need to surrender or constantly surrender. Or we just need to keep, okay, God, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. God, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. So if I can challenge you this week, I've got to walk a Lake Huron. If you can do that, go for it. It's a great time. Maybe in your car. Maybe in your bedroom. Maybe walking down the street. Maybe, I don't know. You place your spot where you need it. Yeah, God has invited us to come boldly casting our cares, but I challenge you. Try 10 minutes. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I just want to listen. I want to be directed by you. I want to be guided by you. Because I am a child of God. You've invited me to say, Abba, Father, in a beautiful, intimate relationship. You're not a far off, distant ball of fire. No. God, you're an intimate, beautiful relationship that knows my thoughts and intents. You know my struggles. You know my victories. You know my defeats. You know my what I'm susceptible to do. And yet you still love me. And God says the same to you this morning. And that's what I invite you to this week. God, we come to you. God, as we study this passage, as we look at it and see what you have for us, God. I love the positioning that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write. That position of being no longer a slave, but becoming a child and heir to God, where you've invited us in a beautiful relationship to talk to you, to hear from you. Not be a far off, distant God, but knowing what we're going through right in this moment. God, maybe be led by you. God, I know there's ones in this room that just made me feel like Elijah. They feel alone, they feel isolated, they feel like you're not listening anymore. They feel just like they're the last. But yet, God, right now, may you speak to them in a still small voice. Because I believe you do that. Right in their heart. God, if there's someone in this room joining us online that does not know you as their Savior, God, right now I ask that you work in their life. That they come to the realization of their need for you because of their brokenness of their sins. And they confess that you are Lord. And they believe that you came, died on a cross, and rose again. God, I believe that wholeheartedly, that you are working and you can work. God, for many others, may we come to that place of surrender. It's yours, God. I want to listen to you. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for guiding. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for correction. God, thank you for being active in our lives. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.